This is LabCast, insights and ideas for the expansion stage senior manager, hosted by OpenView Labs. Welcome to LabCast. Today we're rejoining the conversation between Brad Feld and Scott Maxwell as they discuss the importance of company culture.
All right. So in terms of overall company development, the glue that holds the company together, tell me about your thoughts on culture.
So I've always believed that culture was an incredibly important defining characteristic of a company that was a great company. Even going back to my first company, which was, you know, a software consulting company in Boston in the late 80s and early 90s, I mean, we had a very distinctive culture. We were a bunch of young nerds, you know, working on business applications for, you know, serious conservative business people. And, you know, we just had a lot of fun sort of within the business. We liked each other a lot. Our motto at that company was "We suck less." And the reason that, and we told our customers that was our motto, because many of our customers had been through two or three other consultants and things sucked. They didn't work very well. A lot of them had spent all the budget they had on whatever the previous consultants had failed. And we said, look, you know, our job is to suck less. And the fact that you don't have any money isn't our problem. If you don't have any money, we can't work for you. Right. So just recognize that this is hard and we're really focused on it. But it was done in such a clever way, right, or sort of a cute way that customers really responded to it and sort of got it immediately. I think it's a responsibility of the founders to set the tone. And founders who have a consistent tone amongst themselves as the business scales tend to set a culture in the organization that will scale. Interestingly, I've been involved in lots of different types of cultures, so I don't think that there is a type that is correct. I think there is a tempo that's important, and that tempo has to be one that's consistent, authentic, and real, and especially as companies start to grow incredibly fast, having that culture be organic versus being forced is critically important. So anybody who's been involved in a company, you know, when they came in at employee number 1,000, either came into something that they felt was real and they immediately became part of it, or within a couple of months, they felt like it was contrived and sort of artificial, or people were trying too hard. Whenever there's a culture part of the organization or HR is doing culture-like things, usually, you know, people's suspicion rise versus it's just the way it is. The other thing I think that's really helpful around culture is to have a bunch of, I would call them mantras, but it's the equivalent of mantras, just a bunch of touch points that describe how you think about yourself. So, for example, one of the cultural mantras at Zynga is that they're ghetto Google. Right, they're trying to have a cultural phenomena like Google, but sort of ghetto-ish, you know, more rough and playful, and you know, sort of lower key, but still, you know, let's feed everybody and let's make sure that everybody feels like they're part of a cohesive whole. So having a reference point to define your culture, right? Saying ghetto Google versus ghetto Microsoft means very different things to somebody who knows both Microsoft and both Google. So I think having that internal those internal touch points, and that's, you know, one of N, are really important. The last I'd say is that the founders especially, and you know, this is true whether the founder one of the founders is the CEO or the CEO is somebody who's a non-founder, the founders and the CEO have to have real consistency in how they extend the culture out to the organizations. The companies that are growing rapidly that, in my experience, tend to get lost are ones where there's a divergence between sort of the core fabric from early on in the company and how the CEO is leading the company forward. You end up with a rift of sort of two parallel universes within the company. You have like the old culture and then the growth, the new culture. And the problem is that it's not that the new culture is different than the old culture. It's that there's a widening gap and you have people sort of living in parallel universes. And there's easy signs for that. You know, it used to be like this, or, you know, people that are constantly struggling or unhappy, or if you have sort of a big departure of early employees, or you start seeing politics sprout up in the company. I mean, those are good indications that you have, you know, sort of these divergent pieces. I don't think that there are easy solves for that other than getting it right and staying on it from the very beginning.
Well, are there any particular tools, even though they might not be easy, that a CEO might be able to use if they see diverging culture taking
place?
The
tools for the CEO are in my mind very straightforward. I mean, the sort of in general, be very open and be yourself. So entrepreneurs who try to emulate something they're not, mm-hmm. Or try to behave in a contrived way, to satisfy how they want to define the company tends to not work. The second is don't have any things that you hide behind. Lots of entrepreneurs, hide behind the board. Oh, well, the board said this, right? Or when you're having difficulties, oh, we're having this difficulty because of this, versus we have this difficulty. This is what we need to do to address it. Let's go after it. The sort of whether they're it's passive avoidance or active denial doesn't matter. It's when you're not sort of dealing with the issues that you're dealing with, it undermines anything you would do to try to set the tone for the culture of how the business works. So the first thing I'd tell anybody who's, a CEO is just be yourself and let it be out there, because any attempt not to is going to hinder more than help. The next is, especially if a company is growing really fast, the CEOs that I've encountered that really thought about it and did a good job, they'd be guys like Matt Blumberg, who's at ReturnPath, where I'm an investor, Scott Weiss, who was at Ironport, where I wasn't an investor, but he's on the ReturnPath board, so I've gotten to listen to Scott a lot. They made it part of their job to think about the organizational development of the business. So it wasn't that they said, I'm going to figure out the culture and manage the culture, and it's not that they said, I'm going to make sure I just hire people and those people will be good. It's that they actually spent real time saying, okay, we're adding, 10 people a week. This is what we're going to do as a business to make sure those 10 people a week get integrated into the business. And this is what I'm going to do as a CEO in terms of investing my time in the organizational development as the business scales. And then revisit those things over time. So, there's a well-known sort of discussions about, at Google, Eric Schmidt and Larry and Sergey getting up every Friday and just having, an open microphone and, sort of giving an update on the company and letting anybody ask any questions they wanted and answering those questions no matter what they were and arguing with each other just like they argued in private about what those issues were, right? That kind of thing helps reinforce whatever the cultural norm of the company is. And that's really direct involvement and engagement in the organizational design.
Thanks for listening to part two of this three-part series. Be sure to check in next week as Scott and Brad discuss the importance of mentorship for expansion stage companies.